a few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud,
John Nemeth,
Matt Hagen,
Scotty Allwood,
Dave Lauer,
James Clark,
and our seventh mystery guest. We're here to talk about our loves, hates, and indifferences. Before we do that, though, does anyone have a deja vu?
I do. I have a deja vu, which really messed with my mind as I was watching the episode, Free Will. Didn't care for that conversation much, because then I started to just rethink everything about how my mind works and what is going on. That's all I really have to say about it. I really enjoyed the conversation about it, though. But it did mentally, like, make me just overthink.
Good, good, good.
It's designed to make you overthink. You know, when you start down this rabbit hole of how our brains work and why are there different personalities, why are people the way they are, I don't know, it screws with me. Like, I could spend hours debating that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and I usually go here for the laughs, but yeah, sometimes we'll talk about something where I'm like, oh, this isn't fun. This is making, you
know? It was interesting. It was a good episode still. It doesn't always have to be funny.
I never promised fun.
or a rose garden. any other deja vus?
Well, Aaron Rodgers officially got traded. Let's see. This is today's Tuesday. So he got officially traded yesterday after a bunch of drama. So as a Packer fan, I'm pretty happy with it. Draft picks came back and Rodgers is gone, and I'm excited. I have excitement for the Jordan Love era. We'll see what happens. Any other Packer fans out there?
Yep.
I was going to say, he's wearing a hat.
Oh, I didn't even see the hat. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Totally forgot about that. But,
well,
yeah, it's time for a new era in Green Bay. So,
yeah, I'm excited too. I think the draft compensation we got was really good. The fact that the first rounder next year, Rodgers just has to play 65% of the snaps. Like, they don't have to qualify for the playoffs. They don't have to, like, make it to the AFC championship game. They don't have to do any of that. He just has to play, like, 11 games, and that's it.
I like it. So we're all kind of hoping Rodgers plays 65% of the season and the Jets go 4-13. And
I think they can handle that.
Top five
pick. Yeah. And then Rodgers retires promptly after the season and then signs with the Vikings.
I was going to say, yes, go to the Vikings.
Vikings alert.
Oh, man. And then he sends a photo of his dick to a reporter.
Commits welfare fraud in Mississippi.
Oh, man. Well, I say we start the show off, and I can't think of a better topic than Dave's.
Take it away, Dave.
Go ahead.
My topic is I hate The View. Or not The View.
Let's do The View.
The View as well.
He hates women.
Oh, it's better than that. I hate The Voice. The reason I hate The Voice is multiple reasons. I've watched probably 10 seasons of this show. They probably had 30 seasons of this show, but I've watched probably 10 of them. So there's multiple reasons to dislike this show. Just the producers kind of always meddling with things, kind of setting things up and putting matchups where one person has to sing a song that is not very good and doesn't like, you know, showcase their talents in a way. So there's lots of little things, but here's my big problem with this season of The Voice is there is a contestant on there. And so first I'm going to make kind of an analogy for another instance of this that we probably have seen and will recognize is we've all seen like footage of like a middle school football game where there's the mentally handicapped kid. And they bring him onto the field and they give him the football and the defense all kind of stands back and they just let him run to the end zone to score a touchdown so he can have this wonderful moment and the whole team can celebrate and we can act like he did something great. And that's fine. I like that. You know, it's good for that kid, you know.
I was like, and you don't like that?
I'm fine with that to a degree, but that's kind of happening on this season of The Voice. There is a deaf girl. And this deaf girl, if you've ever heard a deaf person speak, they don't sound very good, and they don't sound like a normal sounding person sounds when they talk, let alone sing. So this deaf girl is on this season, and she came out for her audition, and I was like, you know, she's pretty good for a deaf girl, but she's not at the same level as the rest of the contestants. Like, there's just no comparison. But they, like, let her onto the show, and I'm like, okay, you know, they're doing a charity case. You know, they're letting the slow kid score a touchdown. That's fine. But then she wins the next matchup. And I'm like, okay, we're taking this a little too far. And then she goes out again, and she's won a third matchup now. And it's, to me, it sounds like they're auto-tuning her. She doesn't sound that good, even with the auto-tuning. I don't know. It just seems like a big charity case on TV, and they're just making such a big deal about it, and it's ruining the season, and it's taking me out of it, because I want a pure competition of who has the best voice, not just someone advancing to the next round because we want to be nice to them because they have a handicap.
So does Brooke know that you hate handicapped people, Dave?
Yes, I've voiced this opinion about my dislike for the voice in front of her, and she agrees.
And did you voice it in a deaf person's voice?
No, I didn't. That would be offensive. That is a line I will not cross.
You just use your hands.
There are so many things that I dislike about The Voice that I would love to discuss, but what you're talking about, I 100% am on your side. I have not been watching this season, but it just seems unfair to the people who actually have good voices if she's getting to advance for no reason. And or how long are they going to continue to do this? Is she going to win the fucking season?
It's a strange place to implement affirmative action.
Welcome to the real world, fellas, right?
That's the wrong reality show. But how are the contestants that lose? Are they like smiling and like, oh my God, you did such a good job? And they're like trying not to.
Okay. So this is part of a bad production part is they implemented a new rule this year where it's called a playoff pass. And basically what it means is even as you have a battle between two singers, one girl will win, and then like the person she's going against, like this guy, even though he lost the battle and the coach picked the girl, the playoff pass, all coaches have one playoff pass, so there's four of them, they can hand it out to the loser and be like, you're automatically to the playoff. But like it doesn't make any sense
to
because
go from
you can't
losing
call
to
someone. Yeah, you can't say one person lost a battle and then be like, oh, but you're good enough to go all the way to the playoff. So, none of it makes really any sense. As a viewer, like, if you're just watching it and you're like, oh, I have these, you know, three favorite singers, I'd like one of them to win, because I'm constantly watching these battles and watching the better singer lose, but then sometimes the better singer loses, but then they get a playoff pass, and none of it makes any sense.
Is this show, like, I thought you were just going to rip on the show, like, you know, oh, my fiance makes me watch it and I begrudgingly sit there.
But I mean, that was like you actually enjoy the show.
That was me in the past where I didn't really like it. Well, at first I really loved it, but then I started to dislike it. And now they're doing so much stupid stuff that I hate it. Like, I've come full circle on it.
I always thought that, like, the thing that kind of made me enjoy it less, because I did watch it sometimes with my dad, he likes it a lot, but there was always some sob story. Like they were picking people with good voices, but they had to have a sob story to go along with it. And there would be a 5-minute clip. And then it was kind of like karaoke to where they were just singing these other people's songs. And then I was just like, I don't know, like, this show is not for me kind of thing. I would love to see a show that's not this. That makes no sense.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking is like, I've never been a fan of any of these types of shows. And like, I don't think they're meritocracies. Like, they're out to get ratings and to get eyeballs. And this is how they're doing it.
Like, you guys do know Netflix and Hulu and all this other stuff exists, right? You don't have to watch the show.
I do if my fiance puts it on the TV.
You can go in the other room.
That's Matt's solution. Less time with your wife.
So, to the football fans, have you guys ever watched the NFL draft?
Yes.
Okay, so that's coming up this week. Yeah. Like in years past, ESPN, they will show a football player and they'll show their height, their weight, their 40 time, how much they can bench press. And then they immediately cut to the ESPN docuseries on their past and their upbringing and how their parents either have cancer or they died or they grew up homeless or like some type of adversity they had to overcome in their life. And like, that's fine if you show that about one or two of the draft prospects, but they would literally do that to every single player, every pick. They would go in the order of the pick is announced, their height, their weight, where they went to college, and then their sob story. And it was just every player. And it was just like, I'm so depressed watching the draft because everybody is like, their brother died of like drug overdose and their parents have stage 4 cancer. And it's like,
I think about the girl named Gina who just came, like, has a normal life, like nothing bad happened. And she's has a wonderful singing voice. And then she's singing in front of them. And their producer's like, so what's your background? Oh, you went to high school 4.0. That's cool. Any, no, and you're not getting picked.
I mean, everyone has a wonderful singing voice, right? I mean,
yeah, show us yours. Let's go.
I mean, like, there's millions of people with wonderful singing voices. Like, they can't all be on the show.
Mm. Okay, so I was going to say they were taking away the part of you know, reacting to someone's looks, right? Because that's the one problem I always had with there was these clips of American Idol. And people would show up and the judges are like, oh, look at him. He's so pathetic looking until he starts singing, right? So it's like, good. Why are we judging people on their looks anyways? It's called a voice. But it sounds like you like this show, Dave. And I'm almost willing to check it out. Although it sounds like you're just hate watching it nowadays. Like, we watch The Challenge.
I would not recommend the show at all because... Yeah, you want to hear someone's voice, but you don't even get to hear their voice, really, because the background music and the drums and guitar playing behind them are so loud that you can't hear them sing the song half the time. The song is 3 minutes long, but they cut it down to about 55 seconds. You don't even get to watch them sing it. They're usually just half the time they're showing, you know, Kelly Clarkson and Blake Shelton and John Legend and Gwen Stefani. They're just doing all the reaction shots. Exactly. And they're going like, oh, wow. And it's like, quit talking during someone's performance. Like, they're trying to sing a song here. I don't know. It's everything is like so ADD. They just have to like cut the camera every 3 seconds. And it triggers me.
until about 5 minutes ago, I thought we were talking about The Masked Singer. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
That is the evolution of the voice.
Okay. All right.
But Masked Singer, that's how like famous, right?
Did you call famous people famous? Famous.
I've never heard that either. I like it.
I thought you were trying to say furries.
Oh, it
he was way off.
In a way, they are furries, right? They're all like, oh,
the
dancing panda. Costume,
right?
Yeah.
So which one is Ken Jeong as a host?
That's
the Masked Singer? That's the Masked Singer, yeah.
Okay, that's the only... Okay, I've seen an episode of that show. I have not seen The Voice.
Don't bother. Sucks this season, apparently.
But what about the previous seasons? I should go back and revisit those, right?
Yeah, they're actually evergreen.
Evergreen. John's bringing on all the lingo tonight.
I say we go to someone else's topic. Let's change it up.
Let's hear somebody else's voice.
Oh. And I nominate Scott.
Oh yeah, I actually was scrolling through the notes. This person wanted to talk about this, and I'm like, what was mine? I hate slap fighting. It is a new craze going around right now where there's two people on a stage. There's a guy and he's like, all right, you slap him, see how it goes. And then he's going to slap you and see how it goes. And sometimes it's this, and they slap them. And then that's the whole concept is they're slapping each other. And sometimes they get a good slap to like knock them down to the ground. And I don't like it.
It's so imitatable. Yeah. It's so imitatable, isn't it?
Now, do they have to explain the rules? You slap that guy and that guy slapped. Do they have to explain that every time? I sure hope so.
Well, there are some good rules are good, but there are things where like you can't step into the slap. You have to remain standing in your spot, and then you can't slap the ear because like, you know, when you get punched in the ear, that fucks you up anyways. So they have to slap at a certain part of the face, but there's plenty of people who do step in and then they could get a point taken away, but the damage is already done. Oh, you mean the done.
Slapper?
Yeah.
Yeah, not the slappy.
Okay, so the slapper is supposed to like feet planted.
Right. And then okay. You can't, yeah, if you're the slappy, you can't flinch. I mean, you can't move to like, kind of like go with the slap. You could kind of, you're allowed subtle facial movements before you're actually hit in the face. And then I don't know. It's so bizarre. I went into this not liking it because Dana White, that's his new thing.
Yes, we've talked about this.
Yeah. Power slap, right. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out where we've talked about this before. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. So he was, you know, he was recorded slapping his fucking wife on New Year's.
Yeah.
2 weeks. 2 weeks
before committed to the brand.
Yeah. Was that a promotion? Promotionary piece.
I guess it was because, you know, TBS, they were like, oh shit, do we air this? All they did was bump it back a week, something like that. And they still went on with the show. I don't
so
know.
You're saying his punishment was a slap on the wrist.
Oh, nice.
That, as the kids say, slaps.
So, how do you win?
Good question.
Oh, well, it's all those little points. Like, if you get knocked, if you can knock the other person down, yeah, it's so fucked up because you can still use, like, the, I don't know anatomy, guys, but this part right here, it's like the ball of your bone at the end of your arm. Like, a good whack on the chin will knock you fucking out. I hate the fact that you can't protect yourself because, you know, you could say it's barbaric and so is the UFC, but one of the rules is the ref is like, protect yourself at all times. So this is just dumb to me. It's just like, lose brain cells in front of everyone, you know? It's fucked up. And then we do as viewers, I feel. Yeah.
Have you guys all seen clips of this at least? Because that's what I mainly saw, was just like clips of it.
Yeah, I looked it up in prep for today and I hated it.
Good.
I think I'm like Vince. I don't see the point of this. There's so many other things you could have your eyeballs on. Why would anybody watch this? Like, if I want to see a fight, I'm going to watch athletes fight. These people.
Now, James, if you love this, let us know. It's okay to love this.
Oh no, I'm with everyone else. It's barbaric. There's no defense. What's the point?
Yeah, I agree. It's really stupid. Like, just if you want to watch boxing, then watch boxing. That's if you want to watch UFC, watch UFC. But like the slap fighting, I don't know. It's like a stupid form of like the arm wrestling competitions. And like, I think the arm wrestling competitions are stupid. And people aren't even getting knocked unconscious from it. Yeah, I don't know. I've seen the clips, and that's all I need to see. I'm never gonna actually watch it because it's so unappealing and stupid, and it's like the lowest bottom feeding level of entertainment I would imagine there is.
Now all you got to do is
wait
Go ahead.
I think it's right up there with bum fighting. Do you remember bum fights where you just find some homeless guys?
Oh, we fight wanted to talk. That's my next week's love. No, I'm just kidding.
So,
all right.
Has anybody
prepare
actually
your arguments?
Has anybody actually been concussed from this? Like, do people get knocked down and stuff like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was also
knocked out.
Yeah, and then that viral video or photo of that guy's face just puffed out up to here. That was messed up. Yeah, you could get really fucked up. You could get seriously injured doing this stupid shit. But I wanted to throw this out there. Okay, so Dave, you're like, fuck it. I'm a good slapper and I can take a hit. And then they give you a deaf person to slap. You are screwed. They're going to give all the points to him.
That's the one he wants to
hit the most. Right in the ear. It's a pre-existing condition. Their insurance ain't going to cover it.
How do they decide who goes first in a fight?
Oh, in the slap? Coin toss. Yep.
Yeah, paper, rock, scissors.
That's a very important coin toss.
That'd be so fucked up, though. You're like, you go first.
You know, if you want athletes involved, maybe you do like a triathlon first, and whoever wins that gets to go first in the slap fight.
A triathlon? They're so tired by then. They're like, ugh.
Vince, you remember when you and I were slapping each other for the 24-hour New Year's thing, whatever that was?
Yeah, there was a project. It was called 24 Hours because it was leading up to New Year's. So we had like 100 things to accomplish within 24 hours and we were filming. And one of it was like slap each other for like 3 minutes or something like that. So it was just John and I in the back of the cars.
This sounds amazing. I want to see this.
No, you don't.
Okay, never mind.
How many of those 100 things did you actually do? I barely remember doing this.
I don't know. We got pretty close. I don't think we did them all because one of them was like lose 5 pounds and shit like that. Yeah. And we always started at the strike of midnight. So we're already tired with like 5 hours into it. Damn. Let's move on to someone else. Let's let one of the grizzled veterans go.
Go ahead, Matt.
That's you, Vince, grizzled veteran.
Okay. All right. So I hate.
We can't do three hates in a row. Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
I'll
lighten it up.
Let's lighten it up to an indifference. Okay. I am indifferent to lawns. Now we're coming up on lawn season right now. And I like my lawn. I like taking care of my lawn to a certain extent, but at the same time, it's all just a matter of like maintaining to the level of your neighbor, right? So if your neighbor has an immaculate lawn, it kind of kicks you in the ass and says, okay, I need to get at least somewhat in that area, right? And I think it's all kind of for resale value too. Like I don't want my lawn to go to shit because then if I want to go and sell this house in a few years, I'm going to have this shit lawn and it's not going to look nice. So there's that kind of aspect of it too. But I mean, I'm one of those guys that's out there with the chemicals spraying dandelions. Luckily, I don't have a lot of dandelions, so I kind of get them while they're coming up, and it seems to keep things in check. And I've got Creeping Charlie coming into the lawn, so I'm on my third different chemical for that. And yes, it is working, but at the same time, this doesn't matter. And it's a gigantic waste of time.
How big is your yard? Is it like a gigantic backyard, front yard? What you working with here? What am I trying to picture here?
What you working with? Show me what you're working with. I'm on like
how many hectares?
I'm on like a half acre, but then there's like a city easement area behind that, which I kind of maintain as well. So, but then there's also gardens. So all in all, I'd say it's like a half acre that I'm kind of maintaining as far as lawn goes. But
what's Creeping Charlie? Are you dealing with the Viet Cong or?
I wanted to ask that, but then yeah, I thought too much time went by.
It is an awesome name for a weed. It's like this vine, and it's really hard to kill, but it's this vine that literally just creeps and kind of just destroys your lawn. And it'll
take we pulled section. Some of that up in our backyard, and it just came up like a carpet.
Yeah, you have to spray that stuff.
Planted grass seed where it used to be, basically.
Do you hate lawns, John? Or do you love?
I am not a fan of lawns, but we have like turned most of our backyard into like vegetable garden and like flowers and stuff. And even in our front, like there's like, I don't know, 40 square feet of lawn in front that I have to deal with because we've converted it all to other stuff.
But could you just let it grow out, Matt? Because, or do you have to deal with the homeowners association or whatever?
No, there's no homeowners association. So I kind of feel for people that do have to deal with that. Cause from what I've seen online, a majority of people that have to deal with an HOA hate an HOA. And then you're paying all those fees on top of that. But no, again, it is just maintaining to the level of the neighborhood. You don't want to be the sore thumb in the neighborhood, basically, is what it comes down to.
Yeah. I've already had a serious conversation with my neighbor about how soon he can start mowing his lawn, because otherwise it just looks ridiculous when he mows it immediately. And then I just look dumb because I have, 6 inches of grass.
Did you go over there with the intention of talking to him about this specifically? Like, hey, I see you're outside. You better not start mowing yet.
Yeah, exactly. But we get along really good. So it's not an animosity thing. It's just, Travis, come on. We've talked about this, buddy.
So my city actually sent out a newsletter. Well, they do it all the time. But in this last one, they have this thing called No Mow May, where they basically say, leave your yard alone until June because it's like bad for the insects and stuff that grows in there if you mess with it too early in the year.
So that's a suggestion, or is that a...
It's a suggestion. Like, you're not on your lawn, but it does make you like... Yeah, it does make you like feel not bad about like just letting it go for a while, which is nice.
Well, I don't have to deal with any of that. Just a shitty apartment.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been lucky enough to always have landlords who would like pay people to mow the lawn. And right now I'm in an apartment, so I don't have to worry about it again. So
at my house, I feel a little called out because the neighbors to the left of me and to the right of me, they both have way better lawns and they have way better like landscaping on the front of their house. Where they got like that 3 feet of like mulch and like blocks and planters that look all nice, and mine is just
turn yours into a moat, like make just really go at it.
Well, when it rains, it kind of does turn into a moat. But like, I don't put any of the chemicals on my lawn because I don't know, I don't want to put any cancerous chemicals on my lawn that like if my cats go outside and they eat the grass, which they always do, I don't want them to, hurt their kidneys from it or whatever.
Are you not feeding your cats?
I feed them plenty of food, but they, if you have cats, they like to go and gnaw on grass outside. So I'm afraid to like spray stuff, but I have a bunch of dandelions in the front yard. So like I'll mow the yard and it'll look great. And then, like, it just takes 3 days later, and the dandelions are, like, 6 inches tall. So then I either got to mow it again or I can just get the weed whacker and walk the entire front yard trying to get rid of the dandelions to get them at the same level as the grass. It's a pain in the ass. I hate it.
So I've actually spent the time with like a tool for like digging dandelions out of the ground and pulling
I've
them
considered
all out.
those.
And it works if you keep up on it, but again, I barely have any yard. If my yard was any bigger, I'd be like, no way.
I was looking at one at Lowe's last weekend and I'm like mulling, I'm like, do I spend $30 on this weird metal tool?
Yeah, I've tried the tool and it kind of works to an extent. Like the soil has to be somewhat moist in order to get the root out, but it's kind of just a pain in the ass. It's just easier to spray cancerous chemicals onto the lawn.
Let your boys run around out there.
Oh yeah. Like literally minutes later. No, but I mean, that's just a gigantic waste of water. This is too, like I know there are people in Arizona and Southern California and stuff that maintain lawns, and just if it feels like 100 years from now, people having lawns is going to look like, I don't know, people smoking or something. Like we consider, you know, people smoking, like, why would you do that? That seems ridiculous. But it kind of feels
James.
Like lawns the same thing. James,
James is a smoker? No, James.
Yes, Adam.
I smoke like one cigarette a day. It's like, I am not dedicated.
James, now 'tis the season to cook out and whatnot. Let's talk about your topic.
Well, yeah, my topic is brat stands. And they're amazing for many reasons. First of all, brats.
So would you say this is a love? But
also, it might be, it's a love infatuation. I wouldn't go that far. This is a love of brat stands. But another big thing is it's also just the changing of the seasons. Once you start seeing the brat stands out, it's finally summer. Winter in Wisconsin is miserable. So brat stands are, it's kind of like seeing the first robin of the year. Like, ooh, is it a brat stand?
So do they still put up a brat stand in front of, was it Festival Foods?
Yeah.
It's like when you see a robin pulling a brat out of the ground.
Yes. Yes.
Those are raw, of course. You do want to
eat the brat.
The late bird gets the cook brat. go on, though, with relish, James.
Yeah, peel back the layers of this onion.
Well, I was curious, Dave, do they have like food stands in front of stores like in Oklahoma? Is this just the Wisconsin thing?
They
just
don't
we
have,
want brats.
They definitely do not have brat stands. Down in Oklahoma, you can generally get like a taco truck with Mexican food, or mainly the big one you'll see is the barbecue truck. So it's everywhere has a barbecue truck with, you know, pulled pork and brisket, and then usually like mashed potato and mac and cheese. And then you can get like the brisket on top of a potato, stuff like that.
Coleslaw?
But just a good old fashioned, you can get a coleslaw. The thing is, as I always thought with barbecue, I always thought it came with cornbread, but some places don't have cornbread, and I just don't understand it. How can you not serve cornbread with your barbecue?
Cornbread sucks. That's
whoa,
why.
Oh, hey.
To be fair, fired.
This guy's in Illinois. What
I was
going to
say, listen, I didn't even know what a brat stand was. I was like, brat stand? Let me, this isn't real. And then it was. I do love brats, spicy brats in particular. But I'd never heard of a brat stand.
You never experienced a brat stand.
Never once, James.
You haven't lived.
Now I hear this. They're so
See,
good.
I agree with Scott. See, I'm not a huge brat fan. I mean, brats are good, but I'll go for an Italian sausage, a chorizo before I'll go for
No.
Go on.
That's blasphemy.
What are you talking about?
Oh, God. Okay, so James, you've been to Rockfest. They have in the VIP area, they have like their own little brat stand where you can get brats and fries. And if you're VIP tickets holders, you get a brat for free or however many you can eat. So every year they have it. And every day, 3 days in a row, I went to the brat stand and they were out every single day. They're like, sorry, we're out of brats, but we do have Italian sausage.
They're so much like, more flavorful. Come on.
I'm like, oh, okay, I'll give it a try. No, it was terrible. It
also, was maybe they terrible. Should stop that stupid fucking deal if they're running out of brats all the time.
I know. It's bullshit. I think it's the worst brat stand there is the one at Rockfest.
Because it's successful in selling its brats?
Well, no, because they probably only have like 100 of them or something, you know? They need to pump up those numbers. If you're going to have a brat scene, you got to have enough quantity.
All right, here's a controversial question. Do you fill the brats and then put them in the beer? Or do you like par cook them in the beer and then finish them on the grill?
Oh, okay. So my wife, she boils brats. She always insists on this. I think that's what her mother did. And she doesn't even boil them in beer. Like, it's just water.
Okay.
We've never had beer boiled brats.
Okay. Well,
but then that doesn't even enter
the conversation.
But then I put it onto the grill afterwards. See, my thing is just take it raw. I don't even boil it. Just throw it right onto the grill. Just get the grill flavor, you know, going through the whole brat.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the whole point of what I said is getting the beer flavor into it, not the act of boiling it.
What I'm saying is my wife is wrong.
Yeah. What about you other aficionados of brats? Is there beer involved?
There's no wrong way to do it. Like, you can boil it in water. You can boil it in beer if you want. But I've found out that it's better to just chug a beer rather than waste a beer pouring it in water.
I agree. So yeah.
Slam a beer.
I was going to say, I'm usually drinking beer with it.
I have a shelf in my cupboard that is filled with beer that has been left at my house by other people. You know, just random skanky beers that I'll never drink. And that is my brat beer.
So which way do you do it?
What's that?
Which way do you do it? Do you cook the beer first and then finish them on the grill? Or the other way around?
Correct. Yep. No, two cans of beer, cut up an onion, boil them up, and then you throw them on the grill.
Two cans of beer? Wow. Is it always two cans?
Well, you got like a 12-pack of brats. One can is not even a cover. You got to cover the brats to boil them.
Okay.
So, James, what are you putting on your brat? You got the onions, you said. Yeah, brown mustard, spicy mustard.
No, ketchup. The onions are just for the boiling, and then you throw onions out because they're disgusting.
I love this guy.
So,
oh my god!
I don't think we've talked about onions on this podcast.
So the just did.
Grilled onions and meat are amazing. I will have grilled onions with literally any kind of meat.
I guess no one else shares that.
No, I love onions. I think you like grilled onions for burgers, raw onions for brats.
Fucking gross.
Whoa.
I'm okay with like, I used to hate them, but I cannot do raw onions at all. No thanks. If they're cooked into something, I'm fine with it.
Not even in like a Subway sandwich or something like that? Like a sub?
No! I just...
I'm the same way. I have to have grilled onions. Raw onions, no thanks. I don't want to... I'll eat it, but I don't like it. I don't like any part of it. Unless it's cooked.
That chunky onion, like you bite in and you get that big chunky onion with that big onion burst of flavor. It's fucking gross. I hate it.
I was with you until you said the word gross.
So John, this whole brat and barbecue discussion, this must have your mouth watering, eh?
Oh yeah. Sweet. You know, I'm just picturing everything with, you know, tofu and damn.
I was almost gonna say coleslaw, kind of the only thing John can eat, but no, you can't eat coleslaw either. Sorry.
That depends on what kind of mayo they use, but
I would bet a brat stand.
Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't trust it.
You know, I like a good brat, but just that one brat, and I'm kind of done. I think I've mentioned this before, how I get fuller quicker. So that's weird because back when I was fucking skinny, I could just mow them down. Now that I'm fat as fuck, it's only like maybe one brat, maybe a half of a next brat. So the whole brat stand thing. Yeah, it's kind of fun, I guess. You could say like, oh, Redbox is fun because you get a DVD out of it, but it's just like one brat.
Like that comparison. Yeah, there so you somebody mentioned festival. So yeah, we have a brat stand outside a festival pretty much every day. And I guess I gotta say I've never stopped at a brat stand before, although I enjoy the smell, but I do
Oh,
enjoy
do
brats.
you
Gotta
just
support
lurk
the cause.
around just
Yeah, I'll hang out there like all fucking day.
like at festival, what I've done when I lived in Eau Claire is I've done my grocery shopping, bought, $120 worth of groceries, put it all in my truck, and then I just walk up to the brat stand and I'm like, well, why would I go home and cook this food if they're just cooking food right here?
Yeah.
And then, I get two brats and a can of Coke. Perfect Saturday.
And like that's the thing about something like Festival or any pretty much any grocery store these days, bigger ones, is that I mean, they've got like delis, full service delis, and they've got all these various things you can just get ready made and ready to go. So why the hell would I need to cook? I'll go to the grocery store and get ready made stuff.
And why go home to your wife? I mean, she's just gonna fuck up
She fucks up a lot of stuff.
the Oh man. So are we
Last
ready
10 years of
to
my life, for example.
She's never heard this podcast. We're okay.
What do you do Tuesday nights? Tell me. Let's move on to my topic, shall we? I want to discuss a hate. And that's fucking mummies getting dug up and put on display.
It's weird because it brings me to my love that I want to talk about. I love it. I love this.
You must be the British Empire or something. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's like, the way I heard of mummies first was through the movies, the fucking staggering mummy. Pretty much before zombies ever existed, we had the mummies. And I'm sure I dressed up as a mummy as a kid, but it's just so fucked up that, the British Empire was like, oh, this is strange. They wrap their dead. We got to show people and stuff like that. So it just seems very disrespectful. I don't
Is that
know.
where all this stuff started? Was the British Empire?
I'm just gonna go with that. They're an easy target for me.
So
No, I
you did no research at all on this.
not a lot. Not a lot. I
So
just
just
remember.
the general idea of it, like showcasing someone's dead body, not a
Right.
fan.
Is that what we're
Well,
looking at?
and just stealing shit from other countries and being like, we're going to show this in our museums.
Yes. Yeah,
They're big into that.
it's so bizarre, especially just the fact that there's these, these corpses. And I'm not I think I'm not very superstitious, but I was brought up very superstitious, especially being Native American. There's so much spirits and, shit
So
like that. Yeah. So
you're somewhat stitious.
yes.
Just a little.
Writing's on
So,
the
would
wall.
it bother you personally, like if you learned that, someday your body's going to be dug up and shown in a museum?
For sure, yeah. I don't know. It's the other thing is I don't want to see it. Like I was kind of creeped out when I saw one. I'm like, it's a dead corpse. Like we don't display dead presidents. You dig them up and show them off and stuff.
Well, maybe our ancestors, or no, our descendants will.
I was
Like
thinking as if
the,
from sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like the Catholic Church and stuff has like remains of saints and stuff on display. But at least it's, you know, their own people, I guess. It's not like, you know, the some other religion came around and be like, oh, these are the saints of our enemies or our, you know.
I only saw it from the perspective of our future. Like if like people in the future were trying to learn about us now, and in a way to do that, they would dig up our bodies and kind of, I don't know, showcase like someone, you know, frozen in ice or something. But
in that pose,
I thought you made a good point about how they're taking it from other countries though and bringing it over. I guess I kind of agree with that. But in my mind, I don't give a fuck what happens to my body after I'm dead. Like, do whatever you want if you want to dig me up and
necrophilia.
Yeah, who cares?
Fuck my eye sockets.
He consents to everything.
Let the people know.
I mean, I've already arranged for my body to be donated to science when I'm dead. So who knows what they're going to do with that? I might put a skeleton in a classroom or something.
How do you arrange something like that?
I just went through the U of M here.
I just imagine you like calling random schools. Hey, you guys want my dead body after I'm dead?
No, they have a whole anatomy bequest form.
Yeah, I know one of my grandpas did that with like the University of Chicago. He just, you know, donated it to the medical school. And then they basically just use you as a cadaver and practice surgery or whatever, you know, the doctors do on the dead body.
Would you do that, Dave?
Sure. Like, I really don't care. Like, to me, if it was up to me, I would like to be fed to either sharks or tigers.
How about a tiger shark?
That would be cool. Okay. That'd be cool. I don't know. Just being put, like, in a box in the ground is so boring. Like,
yawn.
You know, it's something cooler than that.
Okay, I just love the idea of your wife trying to go through with your wishes afterwards. Like, no, he wanted this. He wanted me to throw his body in with the sharks. Lady, you can't do that here.
Come on, pull me into the zoo.
I'm a grieving widow. Respect my wishes.
Actually, the whole, you know, mummy thing where, you know, the British Empire, I'll just go with them again. They're like, oh my God, like they wrapped their dead and they put them in these sarcophaguses. And
Gavasai.
Yeah.
Sorry,
but like, but like in my culture, we don't go in coffins, or we didn't, you know, we were just kind of like maybe wrapped up in a blanket, not wrapped up individually like mummies, and then placed in the ground. And actually my stepdad, before he passed, he wanted to be buried in the traditional way, but we're not allowed to anymore. So it's just, it's, and we kind of experienced that as well. Like fucking companies will bulldoze effigy mounds and shit where we have a lot of people buried under these mounds, and they're like, well, sorry, we bought the land and we need an oil thing going through here and shit like that. So
this
it's just
the premise of Poltergeist, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just, I'm mad about that. So I feel for the mummies.
But the mummies don't feel for anything.
So okay, so that's so Matt, how would you be okay being displayed in a museum?
I guess I wouldn't care. I mean, is there money in it?
No.
Right here, right now? No. Like, ultimately,
give me 20 bucks, I'll display me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll sign whatever you need me to sign.
Remember that, like, traveling, like, bodies exhibit?
Mm-mm. I've seen body exhibits before, yeah.
I never went to one, but I remember learning that, like, all the bodies on display were, like, prisoners and stuff who just, you know, like didn't, was it like people from China or something? I don't remember exactly, but like it was like these were not people who wanted to do this. It was just, oh, we have these bodies, do you want to have like a museum display, basically.
James, do you give a damn what happens to your body afterwards?
I don't really care, but Eric's going to give me a Viking funeral, so we're going to do nice. That.
That's a good one.
Next question. Do you next question. Do you care what's happening to your body now?
This temple? Yeah.
Yeah.
One cigarette a day, Vince. One cigarette a day.
Another nail in the coffin.
All in moderation. You're doing okay, James.
Should we go on to the last?
All right. I think that's me. I love the short film World of Tomorrow. And hopefully everyone on this call has, or on this pod has, watched it. For any listeners out there, it's basically the story. There's this little girl, and she gets like a weird video call from someone in the future, and it's like a third generation clone of herself, and she kind of just talks about what her life is like in the future, what the future is like. Explains that the world is about to end, basically, and how different people of different classes are reacting to that. And yeah, it's basically just like the conversation between them and Emily the Third getting a memory from Emily Prime was the whole reason she did this. But yeah, I just thought it was like kind of sad, really absurd and surreal, a lot of humor to it, a lot of like philosophy to it, some pretty great quotes in it, which we can go into. But yeah, what did you all think of it?
I did not know what to expect, and I started watching it, and it's this crude animation that I was last thing I expected, but then it just was such a beautiful short, and there, like you said, there are so many great quotes, and it made me just one of the interesting parts that I thought was super cool was how some people weren't having enough money, like the lower classes were testing out this time travel that was unstable. And so they would time travel into like outer space, and then they would just die because it didn't work. Or they would time travel 200,000 years in the past and then be unable to live in that area and just die. And it was just like, oh my God, so haunting. Did anyone else watch it? Because I could talk about other things as well.
That little part specifically, it reminded me of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where they try to put them into the television, and they get like shrunk down, but then they can't get him back. He's just stuck in the television. And then Willy Wonka's, you know, like, oh, we haven't worked out all the kinks yet. Sorry. But I saw it. I thought it was incredibly sad and depressing. The thought of like never dying, but just like your body just being cloned and then your consciousness moving on to this next body that will just survive forever. And then until they come out with a new version, and then your just consciousness keeps moving to the next form, but you never die. It's like incredibly depressing, because it's like, I would imagine suicide rates would be super high, because like some people would just be like, all right, I want over, I'm done. Like,
or even worse, her grandpa in the
box. Oh my God, the saddest part of the whole.
He wrote us a letter. Oh God. Oh my God. Holy Mother of God. Oh God.
How about the piece of robot poetry? That was good too. Yeah, I felt all kinds of feelings about this one. I had seen it once before years ago whenever it came out, and this I saw it a second and third time. I had it on in the shower. I know most of you guys put other things on in the shower, but I was taking a shower and I put it on, and I kind of got a sense of what it was about, but then at the same time my mind was trailing about work and
shower stuff
shower stuff. No, like it just kind of made me, you know, it's kind of one of those things that kind of makes you want to live in the present as opposed to looking towards the future. And it's something that came to me while I was taking a shower and watching this. And then I decided I needed to watch it again. And I did watch it again and I enjoyed it again. I don't know that I love it, but it does make me feel lots of feelings. And there's a certain existential crisis about it all. And it's kind of life affirming, and it kind of makes me feel better about death in a strange way. Like humans centuries from now are just, you know, they're still humans and they still have all their doubts and their loneliness and all this sort of stuff. So it's comforting in a strange way.
Well, it's kind of like,
I agree.
It's kind of like the being displayed. Would you guys, you know, it sounds like Dave is like, no, I want to end it. You know, like, I don't want to go on and transport my mind and shit like that. I mean, would you guys do this, James?
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely would not. I mean, for me, it's kind of like with the other conversation that you guys have been talking about with the free will, that one. It's like, I don't want to know what's going to happen in the future. Like that, enjoy like what you're doing right now, live in the present. If you already know that what's going to happen, just what's the point then?
I would 100% do this and put my consciousness into anything and everything and continue along the charade of whatever for as long as I could. Death terrifies me. I hate it. I think about it way too often, and it's something, like, I guess I'm a person who enjoys having a little bit more control of my life. So knowing that I can't control that aspect of it, it's just very scary. And
what are you talking about specifically? Death? You're talking about?
Yeah, death. Like, okay. So instead of death, I would choose to like take my consciousness and be able to continue on into some other, if it be it a clone of myself or whatever.
I personally, though, I don't believe that if you could transfer your consciousness to something, I don't think it would really be you continuing.
I think it would be
like a new entity arising who can just remember what you remember.
Yeah.
But is there any difference, really?
To your family and your loved ones and people who know you, no difference. To you, I think you just end.
Right. You still end, and then there's just something else out there living as you.
And wasn't that like a thing on Star Trek where like some of the people wouldn't teleport because they believed you just end and then like a copy of you is created on the other side?
Holy shit. That's awesome. Never heard of that one. Oh, yeah. That's kind of like, what's that movie? Like
The Prestige.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah. What kind of scares me about the like taking your consciousness and downloading into something is just like this weird world that we live in where like all these big corporations run everything. So it's like, I'm not just like putting my consciousness into a clone of myself. I'm putting my consciousness into a Google Chrome clone that is owned by Mark Zuckerberg and Meta. And like everything is going to run through their, you know, their system and their operating system. And I don't know, that's you're actually, gonna be like that's selling actually a great yourself point. To the
I think
company.
You just convinced me to go against it. Yeah, I think. Yeah,
because
yeah,
I don't know. Like, it reminds me of like Terminator in Skynet, and it's just like,
have you guys,
I don't know.
Have you guys, has anyone seen Altered Carbon, the show?
No.
I'm aware of it, but no, I never saw it.
It's pretty much that exact same thing. Where the rich people they live forever. Because they just continuously put themselves into new bodies that, you know, were poor people and they just couldn't afford to live, basically. So, and then they'd have like backup files of themselves. So even if like somehow they got killed or deleted, they could go and basically reboot up a backup file. But it's interesting.
And I just like, I don't understand how it would still like how a consciousness could be converted to a machine and still be the same person, because like, you know, like I'm someone who gets crabby when I'm hungry, Like, what's the machine equivalent of that? You know what I mean? Like, that's part of my personality, right?
So you're a hangry person, is what you're saying, John?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you hangry right now?
No, I had a snack before the pod.
Smart.
So,
well, that's
go ahead.
That's the sci-fi aspect of it, right? Like, how would you create a generic brain? Like, so there's going to be like a basic brain that you're going to implant into somebody else, or, you know, you're going to implant things into their brain or whatever. But then how do you extrapolate out and get all these various details of your personality? I mean, that's the incredible, ridiculous sci-fi of it all. And I think that's a crazy cool idea, but I don't know. It's a sexy idea too. It would be cool to live on forever, but I don't think I would.
I think it would depend. Okay, if it could work, if like somehow, yeah, that is you in this next body or whatever. But I think also it would depend if anyone else is doing it. Like, say, if my siblings, my mom, if they're like, hey, we're going to continue on, you know. And then it's like, I don't really make a lot of friends, not like, you know, just in general, like the older I get, I'm like, I have no interest in new people. You know, I think Scott is the newest friend I've ever had. and so it's like, well, and then what do you do? Am I living on so I could still write, so I can still podcast? Is there a band that just broke out the spot and I'm about to die? I'm like, no, bring me back so I can check out this band. They're gonna be awesome. You know, what am I missing? It all that would really depend if that technology worked.
I'd like what Matt was saying earlier though about like appreciate it, because I wrote down a quote from, it's like, you are alive and living now. Now is the envy of all the dead. And I think that the short helped remind me that I am alive and I should appreciate every little moment, be it bad or good. And sometimes I dwell in regret and just start hating life. And it kind of just helped me kind of maybe start thinking about that a little differently when I start to get into a mode like that, to a mood like that, to try to maybe pull myself out of it a little easier, because I am alive.
Yeah, see,
like, that's the thing about the present, Emily Prime. You only appreciate it when it is the past.
Yes, that was my favorite quote of the whole thing. Yeah, see, like, it kind of changes your worldview in that moment, but then I always get stuck in that thinking about the future, thinking about the past. Like, it's fine to be present in that moment. Like, holy crap, I need to be present right now. But then your brain wanders. Like, my brain wanders.
Well,
I also loved in the short, just the dialogue of Emily Prime. Like, so just,
she's so adorable.
Like,
yeah.
And like some of the interchanges where it's like, what's this up in the sky? Dead bodies. They're okay. No, they're all dead.
Yeah, apparently that's his niece, the guy who made all this. She was just on the floor like coloring, and he's like, hey, say this, or he just somehow got this dialogue from her. And yes, you could just hear the wonderment, that just how young she is with this robotic third generation version of herself. You know, it's so bizarre. I really, really like this. And yeah, I was put in a weird headspace afterwards. So thanks,
John. The fake out ending.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm just like rationalizing it to myself. Like, well, you know, like this, they wouldn't have had this conversation if she never grew up to have her first clone. So, you know.
Yeah, I was like, it's a time travel paradox.
I also just loved the how she sums up the thing where she's like, you will feel a deep longing for something you cannot quite remember. It will be a beautiful visit, and then we shall share the same fate as the rest of the human race, dying horribly.
Yeah.
And I mean, I thought that applies like not even with the meteor strike or whatever. That's just how it is for all of us. We all just die horribly in the end.
That's strangely the comforting, life-affirming thing for me, to be honest with you.
Like, well, I can't wait for this to be over.
So you got
that damn lawn!
It over. It's just, it puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
So you guys don't believe in when they're like, oh, she went peaceably in her bed, you know, in the night. You know, yeah, you guys don't believe that. They're like, fucking, I'm sure it hurt us like hell.
Well, I think it's more the pain along the way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people can die peacefully in their sleep, but.
I mean, usually the death is the peaceful part because you're in so much pain that you want to be dead, and that's like a release from the pain because it's finally over and you get to rest in peace.
What a dark ending for this fun podcast. I was having such a fun time and now I'm just sad.
You know, sometimes I sit in a chair late at night and quietly feel very bad.
Oh my gosh. That line, I wanted to write it and put it on the wall or something like that. It struck me like, oh, those would be like amazing lyrics or something like that. But
then there's something continuing on from that about that makes her feel good because she can feel those feelings or something, right?
Yeah, I am very proud of my sadness because it means I am more alive.
Yes.
I wrote that down as well.
But in the meantime, let's continue living, but we have to stop podcasting soon. So like, subscribe, comment. This was A Few Goldilocks Bears with a Bits of Cloud.
Johnny Allen.
Matt Damon.
James Clark.